B-Pod Studios.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Third and seven, Nate Ebner again in to bother Olsen off the line of scrimmage. Newton is chased, got away from Ninkovich, dancing, gets away from Chandler Jones, setting up space. There goes Cam. Add to the highlight reel that one. Newton to midfield.
That might be the greatest playoff seed Cam could make. This is the National Football League, and he makes four New England Patriots miss. He drops back the pass. Nobody's open. He makes one Patriot miss. He makes two Patriot misses. There's Chandler Jones. That's three, and he takes off, and he has enough energy left in the tank to get the first down. That's why I drive my car home at night with memories or nightmares of Cam Newton. That's unbelievable.
Third and goal. Newton over the middle. Carolina touchdown. A lot of backup corners in there for the Patriots. Newton fires end zone.
It's the corner round by Olsen against the 40, and the ball's thrown on top perfectly to the front pylon. Touchdown, Carolina.
Somewhere I picture that Bill Belichick is smiling, maybe even giggling someplace.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Third and seven, Nate Ebner again in to bother Olsen off the line of scrimmage. Newton is chased, got away from Ninkovich, dancing, gets away from Chandler Jones, setting up space. There goes Cam. Add to the highlight reel that one. Newton to midfield.
Might be the greatest playoff seed Cam could make. This is the National Football League, and he makes four New England Patriots miss. He drops back the pass. Nobody's open. He makes one Patriot miss. He makes two Patriot misses. There's Chandler Jones. That's three, and he takes off, and he has enough energy left in the tank to get the first down. That's why I drive my car home at night with memories or nightmares of Cam Newton. That's unbelievable.
Third and goal. Newton over the middle. Carolina touchdown. A lot of backup corners in there for the Patriots. Newton fires end zone. Touchdown.
It's the corner round by Olsen against the 40, and the ball's thrown on top perfectly to the front pylon. Touchdown, Carolina.
Somewhere I picture that Bill Belichick is smiling, maybe even giggling someplace. This seems like, I mean, one of the all-time low-risk, high-reward moves made by the Patriots.
What better opportunity than to go to a Super Bowl contender in New England that just lost Tom Brady in an offense that's hummed the last 20 years with Brady at the helm?
Newton's firing, it is caught. On the run again, inside the 10,
What a great drive by Cam Newton and a Panthers offense. That's just what these Panther fans wanted to see from their young quarterback.
The Panthers with the win.
Just turned 31 last month, usually a time when quarterbacks are entering the primes of their career. Cam goes to New England with the backing of Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots.
Flag on three. One, two, three.
.85 Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. A hype video for a 31-year-old quarterback with an injury history that just signed a one-year deal for a little over $1 million. But it is a low-risk move. There's no question about it. Bert Breer from MMQB joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Bert.
Hey, what's up, Brad?
All right. What do you think of this move? And first of all, and what do you think of Cam Newton and his effectiveness in the future?
I think it's a risk, obviously. I mean, there's a reason he was unsigned. And it's not really a risk. You don't know what the result's going to be. It's low risk because they haven't invested much in him. But there's a reason why he was out there. And, you know, the main one is that he's been hurt the last couple of years. He had the shoulder injury. He had the foot injury because of the pandemic. Teams couldn't bring him in and have their doctors take a look at those things. And, you know, so, you know, in a season, in an off season, in which it seemed like the first time in forever, quarterback supply outweighed quarterback demand. You know, he couldn't find a job. And you know, this is sort of the typical Bill move where he waits for, you know, the market to sort of settle and then takes advantage of an opportunity out there. And that's what I see this as being. You know, I'm surprised that they didn't at least, you know, give Stidham a week or two in camp to take a look at where he was at. You know, but that opportunity presented itself. And, you know, obviously there's, you know, a huge, huge upside here with a player who, I don't think there's any argument, is, you know, the sort of talent we really haven't seen at that position before.
Okay. All right, Bert, real quick, Rich, what does this speak of the Patriots' belief in Stidham?
That they don't know for sure what they have. I think that's the best way to put it. I think that their best laid plans, and we've talked about this, I think their best laid plans were to at least give Jared Stidham a shot to win the job, and he'll still have that. I do think he's still going to have a shot to win the job. But you know, part of developing a young quarterback is giving them a ton of reps, and so you know that was part of you know my logic and thinking. All right, well, you know, it makes sense to bring him in to give him the summer and at least see where he's at in a year where you're retooling anyway. But again, an opportunity like this doesn't come along all that often, where you can bring in a player who's got the sort of history that Cam does on a sort of deal to bring him in on. And so I think the opportunity to do that probably outweighed the priority of developing Jared Stidham. And I think it certainly shows that, you know, they don't view Jared Stidham the same way, say, Buffalo views Josh Allen, or the same way that, say, the Jets view Sam Darnold.
That's right, because Sammy D is the king of the league. But go ahead, Rich.
So with the Lisfranc surgery and the type of shoulder surgery that Cam Newton had, just can you judge the, I guess, percentage of success somebody who has had those two types of injuries? Like, can you judge how successful they can be to bounce back after having those two types of surgeries?
You know, I talked to the Patriots ex-team doctor about Cam earlier in the offseason, and he actually said to me, he's like, I wouldn't sign off on Cam unless I was able to see him with my own eyes and put my hands on that shoulder and see where it was at. And so the shoulder surgery he underwent was tricky. And foot injuries are always tricky, right? Like, I mean, foot, hamstring, back, there are certain injuries that, you know, for football players especially, really linger. And if you're a big man, those injuries are worse. And Cam is a big man. So, you know, like that's part of the whole deal here of why he was available. And then there's this other element there too. And I think that this is sort of an interesting sidelight. And, you know, the conversations I've had with Cam the last couple of years, this has actually come up. He was so used to being so dominant, right? Like, and I mean, this goes back to Blinn Junior College, to Auburn, and then into the pros. He's always been so used to being able to just physically dominate everybody, even at the NFL level. These injuries, and you know, you can go into Superman nickname if you want here. These injuries have sort of, you know, taken Superman down a notch. And when you can't physically dominate the way that you used to be able to because of the injuries, it can take a mental toll on you, you know, and you have to learn to adjust your game. And I think that's sort of where Cam's been, you know, really since, you know, he suffered the shoulder injury in the middle of the 2018 season. He's been trying to adjust his game, you know, but that's a big adjustment for somebody who's always been able to sort of flip a switch and physically dominate everybody. Where you do have to sort of learn to win another way. And I know that's been a process for Cam. And, you know, whether or not he can make it through these injuries and then adjust himself, you know, to create like sort of a second phase of his career remains to be seen. But obviously the Patriots saw enough upside there to take the chance on it.
All right, this is going to sound weird. I was thinking about Josh McDaniels and like the pressure's now on for him to try to figure out a completely different type of offense than obviously what Tom Brady had. And I was thinking back to when he was the coach of the Broncos and he had Tim Tebow, would it look anything similar?
Cam Newton's going to reach through the mic and hit you in the face.
Would it look anything similar to the type of offense that he drew up for Tim Tebow, who obviously was, you know, captain extend the play, captain run? I don't know. I mean, would it look anything like that?
Well, do you guys remember what the offense looked like when they started Jacoby Brissett in 2016?
Yeah, they didn't.
They did that on like 3 days' notice, guys.
Yeah,
you remember that?
It was like a peewee. Yeah, it was like a peewee offense.
But the point is, they were able to flip it upside down and make it work for Jacoby Brissett on 3 days' notice.
Yeah.
So, and I can also tell you that 2 years after that, when they were evaluating Lamar Jackson, they really liked Lamar. But they liked Lamar in the context of, we're going to have to do things completely different. We're going to have to completely sell out for him if we were going to draft him and change everything that we do. And ultimately, Lamar went to a team that was willing to do that. We've seen the results since. So this isn't something they haven't thought about before. I think they, you know, I know Bill and Josh have certainly considered the fact that quarterbacks don't come out of college the same way that Tom Brady came out of college in 2000 with all his background and, you know, traditional pro style offense, and eventually they were going to have to make changes. And guys, they even did that for Jimmy. I mean, Jimmy was coming out of, you know, what was in essence the Baylor offense, the old Art Briles offense, and they had to adjust some things when Jimmy was playing. And so they're the kings of being able to do this, and they've done it almost everywhere else on the field. They just haven't had to do it for the quarterback wholesale before. So I have full confidence that if Cam proves that he's worth going all in on for the 2020 season, they're going to have answers. They're going to have a way to use them. And I'm sure that, you know, in doing some of the background research on guys like Lamar the last couple of years, they've certainly, you know, come up with ideas for how they would use that sort of player if they ever had that kind of guy at quarterback.
Hey, Burke, could they ever bring in Norv Turner at all? Is he available? I know he was with Cam and Carolina. And what do you think this move could do for N'Keal Harry as well with what he did with Benjamin and Ginn in Carolina?
Yeah, well, I think. I mean, the one thing, Joe, and that's a good point. You know, part of the reason why they had those receivers in Carolina, believe it or not, was because of Cam's accuracy issue when he was younger. They believed that having bigger targets, guys like Benjamin and Funchess, you might remember, and Greg Olsen, having those big, tall targets was good for him. Because it was easier for him to locate those guys on broken plays and mitigated a little bit of the accuracy issue where he would be high sometimes throwing the guys. And so I do think N'Keal Harry actually could be somebody who could benefit from Cam being there. And, you know, Norv is an interesting example of a coach who adjusted late in his career to make it work for Cam. He'd never had a quarterback like that. And, you know, he and Bill talked a couple months ago. The Patriots were very aggressive in making calls to coaches who've worked with Cam over the last few years. And I can just tell you, knowing what a lot of those guys think of Cam, they signed off on what he can be and his mentality and how he worked with them. And, you know, Norv was able to adjust an offense that, I mean, you know, been built for guys like Troy Aikman and Phillip Rivers. So I have no doubt that Belichick and McDaniels are going to be able to do it as well. And it would make sense, you know, if Bill at least consulted with Norv a little bit on some of the stuff that they did to make Cam comfortable in that offense.
All right, Bert, if you can stick around, we'll come back and talk a little bit about the fines and the draft pick that was taken away from the Patriots. All right, so we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
31 years old, just turned 31 last month. Usually a time when quarterbacks are entering the primes of their career. But I do think in typical Patriots fashion, they'll have what they call a quarterback competition. But to me, if Cam Newton picks up this offense quickly, and it's going to be challenging because he's stepping in late in the game, hasn't worked with this verbiage, doesn't know this offense just yet, there will be a lot to learn. But if he can do that, there's no reason that he shouldn't win the starting job over Jared Stidham.
.985 The Sports Hub. We have Burt Breer from MMQB. He's brought to you on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Some other news with the Patriots. They get fined a little over $1 million and lose a third-round pick for illegally taping the Cincinnati Bengals, I believe. Yes, indeed. And, Burt, what did you think of that punishment? Was it fair?
Yeah, I think it's fair. I mean, I believe the Patriots when they say this really was an innocent mistake and it really was the website people, you know, putting together a story and basically crossing a line they shouldn't have crossed. That said, if you're the New England Patriots, what's the one piece of equipment you can't get caught doing anything that may even look borderline nefarious with?
Videotaping a sideline. Everyone should know that.
A video camera. Yeah. If there's one, I mean, that's like the Astros getting caught doing something with a drum. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's just like that's sort of on you if you get caught doing something like that. So I believe their story. I can't believe that an organization that's as buttoned up as the Patriots are let someone leave the building to do that. you know, and go into somebody else's press box, you know, to go see a game they weren't even a part of, with a video camera. Like, that just, it seemed like somebody should have flagged that on the way out the door. But I do think it was an innocent mistake. And, you know, I do also understand why the league absolutely has to penalize the Patriots for anything that even smells like, you know, videotaping as a way of cheating.
Okay, I have to ask you about this, even though it seems ridiculous, but JT the Brick, you know, JT, he's a guy who used to do overnights, like nationally before our show. He also is one of the, I think he's the play-by-play guy for the Raiders, I think. But he has been, for the last couple of months, convinced that Cam Newton was coming here. He said that he had sources that he was going to be coming to the Patriots, that, you know, this is something, it's the hill he was going to die on. And now this morning, of course, he looks like he's a genius. But last night he tweeted after that, he put, "You want another big scoop from my same Patriot source?" He said, "Don't be shocked if Colin Kaepernick lands with New England, but not as a player developing." Have you heard anything about Colin Kaepernick wanting to take any sort of job within the NFL that wasn't as a player?
No, but I that's an interesting idea, and I guess that would be in some sort of player development role. You know, and I wouldn't be totally stunned if, like, you know, that he had, you know, he saw something like that down the line as something he'd want to do. But I hadn't heard anything about the idea that he would be in the running for a job like that anywhere. Maybe it's something that's flown under the radar and JT has a heck of a scoop there, but I just hadn't heard that.
Well, JT has all the scoops.
He's got all the, he's got all the best scoops.
Considering Cam Newton was the favorite to go to the Patriots.
Yeah. So was Vegas.
Cash in at plus 400, guys, last night.
What's that?
Plus 400, Cam Newton to the Patriots last night, if you bet it.
Did you hit it?
I didn't hit it, but I thought it would happen the whole time.
Oh, wow.
I still think Colin Kaepernick might end up somewhere, too, as a quarantine QB. I keep telling you guys that.
All right. Well, you got Joey bag of donuts here, of cash.
You know what? Joe brings up a good point, though. Teams are going to need to have, like, quarterbacks on hand that know their system. And I know there are teams that have talked about the idea of having four or five quarterbacks in camp just so you have guys in reserve who know the system. So I personally think Colin Kaepernick's going to have some opportunity somewhere. It's just going to be a matter of how it's presented and whether it's, you know, and whether it's right for him.
By the way, everyone's talking about how, I wonder if Cam Newton's going to be able to adapt to working under this, you know, Bill Belichick, where he's not going to be able to be himself. Don't you get a strange feeling that Chill Belichick is here to stay, and he's going to let Cam Newton do what Cam Newton does, and he's going to let him, you know, do all the social media stuff, be himself at the press conferences. I mean, not, of course, be an a-hole like he has been at some points, but he's going to let him, you know, show his personality. Don't you think that Bill is almost going to be hands-off more than you would expect if Cam Newton ends up being somewhat of a factor on this team?
I mean, we've seen him do it before, right? I mean, I feel like Randy Moss coming in here, there were big questions about how, you know, Bill was going to handle all of that. You know, when Tim Tebow signed, I know it's like, oh, well, how are the Patriots going to manage the circus? Well, it wasn't a circus anymore. And one of the things that's really interesting about the Cam situation is, you know, this is going to be a very unique year. And you might not have any fans at training camp. I think you almost certainly have no fans at training camp. You might not even have much media at training camp. Press conferences could be held over Zoom, at least for the foreseeable future. You may not have fans in the stands. And so, you know, the whole idea of having a player as a distraction or, you know, things happening in the media, like all that's going to be in a different context in 2020. And I think because things are going to look different and because things are going to be presented differently, you know, just from a media standpoint, I actually think like some of the idea of the quote unquote distraction might be more manageable for NFL teams. I also say this, I mean, as big a deal as was made of like the hats and all that other stuff, when Cam was a Panther, I don't know that he was ever a distraction. I mean, the guys in that locker room loved him. He was a captain on one of the closest-knit teams I've ever been around, the 2015 Panthers. The coaches who he worked with really liked him. I know that there's a lot extra that's come with Cam, and he carries himself a certain way that gets attention. But, I'm pretty sure that Norv and all the other guys that the Patriots coaches talked to that have coached Cam and worked with Cam would tell them, you know, that this was never really a problem for us. I mean, do you look at certain things and kind of laugh or roll your eyes at it? Sure. But it was never in the way of, you know, what the team needed to accomplish. And that's always been Bill's premise is, you know, if it doesn't get in the way of what the team's accomplishing or who the team needs to accomplish, then, you know, he can swallow some of that stuff.
By the way, this deal that the Patriots gave Cam Newton of the, you know, basically the minimum, like $1 million, mm-hmm. and then he gets incentives up to $7.5 million. Just by comparison, what is Colin Kaepernick asking? Do you know?
I don't know what he's asking for, no. I mean, but I think that he's going to have to accept something like that. Like, I think if he's going to have a job in 2020, it's going to have to be something at or near the minimum with no guarantee of making a roster, because that's where Kaepernick was in 2016. A lot of people forget this. The Niners tried to trade him that offseason. He'd been on the trade block the year before. And going into camp that year, you remember Blaine Gabbert was a starter in San Francisco. There were no assurances that Cap was even going to make the team there. And even like late into August of that year, there was talk that despite the fact that all of his money was guaranteed, that the Niners might cut him. You know, and then the anthem controversy went crazy and everything changed. But there had been a lot of questions about whether or not he was going to make the Niners roster and what the Niners were going to do with him that year. So if he goes somewhere 4 years later, you know, certainly I think that there's going to be questions about whether or not he makes the roster. And guys like that are generally not making very much money.
Would you have rather taken a Cam Newton as is or a Colin Kaepernick as is?
Oh, Cam. I mean, Cam, and one of the things about Cap is that he came at a time when there was a lot of, like, he had the explosion of the college spread at the NFL level. And, you know, Tim Tebow had a really good year in 11, and Robert Griffin had a great year in 12. And so, you know, when Kaepernick became a starter, the timing was incredible, you know, and so it just sort of happened at a time when no one knew what to do with the idea of like the read option at the NFL level with these incredibly explosive quarterbacks. And then, you know, I'd say 2014, 2015, the NFL got a better handle on it. And so you saw Robert Griffin disappear. You saw Colin Kaepernick go into decline. Cam Newton made it past that and won an MVP after that. Yeah. Like, all that stuff that happened with the spread and everything else, like, Cam Newton sort of transcended that. And so I don't think there's any question, if you want to look at accomplishment and level of accomplishment, like, Cam Newton's a far better NFL quarterback than Colin Kaepernick. And I think that, you know, if you're going to roll the dice on one or the other this year, there's no question that you're rolling the dice on Cam Newton.
All right. Now, what are the ramifications of getting rid of Cam Newton? Or not Cam Newton, of Colin Kaepernick. Say you bring him in and things don't work out. Are there ramifications in terms of people look at that as a racial issue?
Well, I don't know if it's a racial issue, but I think it's certainly a question that every team has to answer, you know, if they were going to consider bringing him in. It's, you know, the first thing is, where is he on the roster? And he's probably going to be a guy, again, who's fighting for a roster spot. And I don't think it's impossible to, you know, conjure up this scenario. If he's just not at the level right now where you can give him one of the 53 roster spots in a year where roster spots are going to be important, you know, how do you, how do you handle cutting him? And is that a problem? And does that create, like, an issue for you, whatever it is, 7-8 days before a very, very unusual season is going to get started? I think that's a question that every team that would consider him would have to ask, and it's a fair one, Fred.
All right. Well, listen, Burt Breer, MMQB, thank you so much for taking the time, sir. We do appreciate it, and it should be interesting. Finally, a little story coming out there in Foxborough. We appreciate the time. Now, Rich, when we come back, there's a little controversy with one of our favorite people, is there not?
Yes, there is. Yeah, we do have to discuss something that we learned last night.
Yes, I was sent to me many, or I forgot who texted it to us, but oh boy. Yeah, this is something else, so we will have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
I am rather confused. Toucher and Rich. What the hell is going on?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. And do you remember the decision over there? The big... The big LeBron James decision that went so well.
Oh, man, Fred, watching that show last night, ESPN did this thing called The Decision, The Backstory. And now I know why, like, my mother watches Fox News to just hate watch and just to get, like, all riled up and angry at, like, oh, the left. Because last night, watching The Decision, it was like hate porn for me. It brought me back to at the moment that I think I disliked LeBron James the most. It was when it all just started to blow up, and it, like, showed not only the decision and just how, what a cluster F of a whole production that was, and how it was completely misguided and nobody thought it through, but it also went into the huge thing they did at the American Airlines Arena down in Miami, where
that was
the worst.
Not one, not two,
not five, not six, not seven. I mean, when they brought
150
out with fireworks, LeBron James, Dwyane Wade, and Chris Bosh before they had even played a game together, and it said, "We did it." Oh my God. I just remember how much I hated that team, and I wanted them to lose every single game they played. And just watching it was like a hate watch last night. But it was really well done. They went behind the scenes, and there's a lot of people who, of course, now step back and say, "Well, you know, we warned LeBron not to do this." Like David Stern, you know, they had old tape of him saying, "Oh, you know." Although David Stern's was funny. The reason he didn't want him to do it is because he never wanted the player to be bigger than the brand, and he didn't really like LeBron kind of pulling the strings on all this when it wasn't David Stern pulling all the strings.
He knows where the bodies are buried.
I know where the bodies are buried. So that maybe I do agree with. I do actually probably understand why he thought that. But my favorite moment of the whole documentary, and they interviewed almost everyone involved. Like, I mean, they got, like, you know, the head of ESPN. They, you know, they had all the, you know, different people who were, you know, working at ESPN at the time. But one person who refused to be interviewed during the whole deal would be the person sitting directly across from LeBron James.
Oh, I know Tom.
Right.
Oprah knows Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Stedman knows Tom.
Yep.
Oprah knows my wife. We're all friends.
Yep.
So why not have a dinner? So that's what that was.
So just the more we know about Jim Gray, the more it's just confirmed everywhere that he is the biggest prick in sports.
Yes. And, you know, he's a forthright guy, you know, ignoring a interview request that he's responsible for. Or is he? But he was there. He was the guy that was interviewing him, and he's not going to talk.
No.
Because it would ruin his career, Rich. His thriving career, Jim Gray.
But I do love it because there was no love lost for Jim Gray in all of this. Here's a clip where they're talking about, this is just, I mean, this is so Jim Gray. I could have written this following script. Let's take a listen from last night's thing about the decision.
A free agency announcement show wasn't the idea of LeBron or his friends or anyone at ESPN. It was pitched by a guy named Drew from Columbus, Ohio, in Bill Simmons' mailbag column. Drew wrote, "What if LeBron announces he will pick his 2010-11 team live on ABC? Simmons replied that LeBron should do it on pay-per-view and charge $44.99. 3 months later, during the 2010 All-Star Weekend in Dallas, Simmons urged ESPN executives to produce an announcement show called LeBron's Decision. That weekend, Simmons also pitched it to members of LeBron's team, including Maverick Carter and LeBron's agent, Leon Rose. LeBron's advisors were in favor of the idea, Simmons wrote in an email sent in May to ESPN executives. But the project went nowhere. Until early June in L.A., during Game 2 of the NBA Finals, veteran broadcaster Jim Gray says he told Maverick Carter and Hollywood agent Ari Emanuel that LeBron should announce his decision live on network TV.
Okay, stop. All right, first of all, way to just, like, steal an idea that was a horrible idea anyway. You know what? I'm going to pitch this idea. I heard it got turned down, but when the gray man steps up, answers change. This is when the gray man comes into the picture, you don't say no. You don't deny the gray man. That's for sure. I mean, how typical is that of him?
Yeah, right. It was my,
because, you know, he's totally aware of what Bill Simmons was doing. I mean, if it was in a column, he's completely aware of it. And he just stole the idea, which was a bad idea. Veteran broadcaster of what? What's he veteran broadcaster? I mean, he was, you know, 20 years ago. I don't recall Jim Gray being that big a deal when they did the decision.
No, but, no. I don't even know, like, what he was doing at that point. I mean, other than maybe some boxing, like some ring stuff. I don't even know.
I was having dinner with Oprah.
Oh, I mean, that guy. The fact that he's, like, taking credit for an idea, which, by the way, how bold is that? Taking credit for an idea that backfired and sucked. But still, he wanted to be known as the guy who created the entire thing. I don't know how much longer this clip has, but Dan, how much more does this have? Is it, like, 10
had about, I rewinded just 10 seconds, so it's
okay.
Let
me hear the end of it, because there was something else they mentioned too in there that's total Jim Gray. Here, let it run.
Veteran broadcaster Jim Gray says he told Maverick Carter and Hollywood agent Ari Emanuel that LeBron should announce his decision live on network TV. Carter sold LeBron on the idea, and Emanuel pitched it to ESPN executive John Skipper.
Okay, the other thing that happened in the episode is that when they talked about how it was all set up, ESPN had nothing to do with the actual production of the event. They just carried it. This was LeBron's people, and, like, LeBron set up the entire thing. And the one thing that everybody, like, on the show who did talk said is that nobody wanted Jim Gray.
Of course not.
Everybody unanimously did not want Jim Gray to do it.
Yeah, they didn't want a nobody out there. This was going to be a big deal. The biggest athlete in sports was going to sit down and say where he was going, which was the biggest story in sports at the time, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh yeah, of course.
And so they
went.
Yeah, I mean, why didn't they just get you know, like, Alan Thicke to do it? get a bigger name. I mean, get anybody.
Are we going to be cliche ridden and mamby pamby bullshit? or are we going to light it up?
Well, that's exactly what you're going to do. You're not lighting anything up. You're a oh, my God, Jim Gray. The balls on that guy. No kidding, no one wanted Jim Gray. Just Wallach should have done it. He would have been more loved.
I think Wallach would have been great at this.
And by the way, so if you like rewatching it last night was fascinating because, I mean, stepping back, like, you know, 10 years later and watching this, you know, LeBron couldn't have been more uncomfortable and more just like you could tell while he was there, he's probably thinking in his head, this wasn't a good idea. And what is your job as somebody who's sitting across from LeBron James? It's to make him feel comfortable, right?
Make him feel comfortable and make it so he doesn't come off awful.
Yeah, and on top of that, and also ask, like, good questions as well.
Well, that's impossible for him.
and that's why everyone at ESPN, like, it showed, like, real-time commentary while they're playing part of the interview, and it shows the people at ESPN going, nobody wanted this guy. Nobody wanted him here, yet he was forced upon it because he was the idea guy. Oh, what a barnacle. What an absolute barnacle that guy is, and just how he is somehow suckered his way into the Tom Brady stratosphere and how the whole, I mean, I guarantee you LeBron James will never talk to the guy now because if it was indeed his idea, I mean, you want to talk about something that LeBron James just maybe like right about the last couple of years was able to finally live down.
Right.
It's infuriating. That guy just, I saw it last night. I was like, it's our old buddy Jim Gray. The guy who tried to get us kicked off the radio because of how that interview went. Because he was being an a-hole and you were just like, guys, just go. The interview's over. You're not answering any of our questions. Do you remember how he was calling like Westwood One and all these like these companies trying to get us
in trouble? Oh, yeah. He was trying to get us in trouble because he didn't like the way the interview went, which is ironic because he's most famous for doing an interview that didn't go well. And I'm not even talking about the LeBron one.
I'm talking about
the debacle with Pete Rose.
Yep.
So, I mean, of all people to want to get someone fired for a bad interview, I mean, the pot in the effing kettle. I mean, Tom. Come on.
Tom.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. Great, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Tom.
Yeah, because what he does with Tom, obviously what he does, he has an agreement with Tom Brady that he's just going to kiss his ass. I mean, that's the entire agreement, I would have to imagine. So, yeah, he just goes, Tom, we'll do this, you know, interview that's going to get sponsored, and we'll do it on Monday Night Football, and we'll tape it beforehand, which is my belief. And, well, you know, you'll know the questions before I ask him, because he's such a journalist, after all. And, he's a barnacle. He's a barnacle on the guy, so congratulations to Jim Gray and knock me over with a feather that they didn't want him to do it. Oh,
it was worth watching though because you get to really.
It's Dwayne Wade's house, but it's now also LeBron James' kingdom.
That guy who is like captain, like what was it? It's Bosch's.
So it's Wade's house.
Yeah, that's right.
LeBron's kingdom and Bosch's pit, baby. Visitors beware! Visitors beware! Enter at your own risk!
Oh my God, that was the best.
By the way, how much does it suck if you're Bosch? They're like, it's Wade's house, LeBron's kingdom, and you get a pit.
By the way, wouldn't it be the Bosch pit, not Bosch's pit, maybe?
Well, they were very inspired by Piper's pit, and so they wanted to go off like that. Bosch's pit. They couldn't think of anything else to describe it.
Instead of Bosch Pit, is Bosch Pit.
That's just like the Bosch Pit. He called it Bosch's Pit, baby.
Yeah, he gets a pit. Everyone else gets a kingdom.
Yeah, that's right. It's hot. That's right. Oh, my God. That was the best. Oh, not one, not two, not th- – it was – watching it all last night was just – it brought it all back. And with Jim Gray, it was just the icing on the – and how dumb is it that he would be the one – that he would be the one who took credit for something that ended up being a total failure?
Yeah, that he took credit for something that wasn't even his idea, and he helped make it a total failure. Because who knows how else it could have gone – if anyone else was doing it. Now, listen, LeBron wasn't going to come out looking well when he says, I'm taking my talents to Miami. But maybe that was discussed between LeBron and Jim Gray beforehand. Would you put that past Jim Gray?
No, not for one second.
You know, it's going to sound good if you say you're taking your talents instead of you're just going to play. Ugh, Jim Gray. Oh, he's the worst. And I just am fascinated with his career. Maybe he still goes into boxing rings, but wasn't the last boxing match that was on ESPN outrated by a cornhole tournament? I thought that was something that Dana White reacted to. So congratulations, Jim Gray. You ruined boxing as well. Ugh, that guy. So, yes, he is not a lot of success. I'm going to steal this idea, yippity-yippity. Steal this idea from Bill Simmons. And none of them wanted him. Well, Rich, I deliberately did not look at something.
Okay.
That was sent to me a bunch of times. Now, I believe it was sent to you as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because court's going to be in session at 8 o'clock.
Yeah. We have to bring court to session.
So, Rich, you being the ultimate judge, and you got to get your powdered wig on.
Do we have an extra powdered wig for Mr. Joe Murray?
Well, Joe Murray and I are, we are just mere jurors, as Rich presents his case. And we will sit there and
This live, by the way. I want to let you guys know.
You saw it live?
Oh, you did?
I did. I saw it, and I sent it to Rich immediately once I saw it pop up on the internet.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right, we will talk about that coming up at 8 o'clock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich. Oh, this guy's a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, Cam. Okay, Cam. I see you. I see you. Willing to go to New England? Succeed to be the successor to Tom Brady? Oh, my goodness. I like it. I like it. Can New England win the Super Bowl again? Can they do it again? I don't know, Patrick Mahomes. I don't know, Deshaun Watson. I don't know, Lamar Jackson. I don't know. But I love it. Cam! I hear you, bro.
Always, always ask.
The minute I heard that, Rich, I thought the same thing.
I know. We got all like, but I love it.
I'm a bottom feeder.
Yes, you are.
It's like 5 asses all in a row. I love it.
Yes, that's Stephen A. Smith. I think exaggerating a guy who's been cut from his former team that's dealing with injuries and all of those things. But
admit this isn't exciting. Admit that this is
exciting
going into a season with a guy that nobody really knows if he's any good. The Jared Stidham story, it would have been neat to see if what he could be and what they saw in this guy. And up to this point, the thing that kind of kept me hanging on that we might see something special was the fact that they've been so loyal to him. You know, they didn't really make any big moves up to this point. I was like, oh, man, they seem to love this guy. And now that Cam Newton's here, I'm like, all right, now let the fun begin. Because if he's great and if he goes back to being the Cam Newton that he was before pre-injury and he's healthy, oh man, just to see what Bill Belichick could do with a guy like that is going to be phenomenal. But if it implodes, that's even like, that's almost even more fun, because I don't know whether or not Cam Newton is going to, you know, he's got the personality that lends itself to going insane. I just think that I'm erring more on the side of this being successful, because Cam Newton has a massive paycheck waiting for him if this is moderately successful. Like, if he comes out and is just a very good quarterback, not a great quarterback, not like an extremely good one, but just like if he takes them to 10 wins, do you know how much money he's going to make? If he's the reason that you can kind of point at and go, you know what? You were able to get them 10 wins. He's going to make so much cash after this.
It's the Ryan Tannehill deal. Ryan Tannehill signed the same veteran deal with Tennessee this year.
Sure.
And he just got a boatload of money. And this is going to happen, guys. The Patriots have a history of bringing guys in for a year and going out and getting a ton of dough. And it's just the same thing will happen if he plays this year and is the starter. But he's going to get paid like Ryan Tannehill.
And on top of that, by the way, I was watching some highlights. They were showing some on the TV. Boy, I knew he was bad, but I forgot how bad Cam Newton was in the Super Bowl. I mean, that was like, that's an all-time choke, like a choke job for the ages. I think he had zero touchdowns.
Well, that Denver defense, too, but he didn't fall on that fumble, and that's all anybody remembers.
Well, that's the main thing, is the dancing around on one of his two fumbles where he wasn't able to get it. And of course, you know, he, you know, at the post-game press conference, too, didn't help himself at all either when he acted like a baby during all that. But no. I mean, just think about it. This makes the season so much more exciting with everything that's going on. Because, as I said, if it works, Bill Belichick's a genius. Josh McDaniel's a genius.
All right. Let's calm down with that. I mean,
but that's what people are going to say. Listen, Bill Belichick's still the greatest, and he'll be the greatest. But I mean, think about what people are going to say about Josh McDaniels. Like, if Josh McDaniels can make this work with a broken Cam Newton, you got to give him respect.
Head coach,
but if he doesn't, if he doesn't, then Fred, he is what you think he is.
Yeah, Cam Newton's one hit away from, you know, becoming a guy who can't play anymore. I mean, remember what he did to his body. Remember when he was playing, even during games, announcers were like, oh my God, like, he can't keep taking these hits. So, I don't know, Joe, if you agree, but I don't think he can run with it anymore.
Yeah, just looking at some of the numbers over his rushing career, I mean, he's definitely had a lot of rushes. Like, one year he had over 126, 127. He had 139 in 2017. I don't think he could be successful rushing over 100 times in a season anymore.
But no.
I do think there's situations where he can. Like, he rushed for 14 touchdowns one year, 10. In the red zone, though, I think he's a threat. I think he could be at times in the red zone, though. Yeah, but I don't think they can have him rush for 100 yards, no way.
No, I don't think that they can afford to get him hit like that in the open field. He's going to be a pocket passer. All right. Well, we have to have a court come in session, and we will do so. There will be no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.